grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our gospel lesson, Luke chapter 2, beginning at the 40th verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, now and again, you will see a car with a bumper sticker that says, "My child was student of the month at such and such elementary or such and such charter school." My child was student of the month. If you're a parent, you know, what parent doesn't want to brag just a little bit about their child? What parent doesn't think that in one way or another, whether it's academics or sports or something else, their child is just a little bit above average? A couple years back, there was a news segment about a boy, 12 years old, same age as our Lord Jesus in the gospel lesson as we meet him there. This boy was 12 years old, and he was most certainly above average. He was 12 years old, and he was going to school at MIT or Harvard or one of those Ivy League schools. I don't remember, but it was an Ivy League school, 12 years old. And this boy, as he was being interviewed, he could do complex math calculations in his head, and he was very knowledgeable about science, but not just math and science. He also knew history, facts, and lessons, and things like that as well. This child was pretty astounding. Happy, confident, genius IQ, rattling off answers. And you think, a child like that, what does the future hold for them? Where will they go? What will they do? Well, probably they could find a place at NASA doing that sort of thing, or a research scientist searching for cures for diseases, or maybe a nuclear physicist, something like that. Whatever the case, you can see this child in the future making some great and profound contribution to the sum of human knowledge or an improvement of the human condition. And as the interview wound up, the fellow who was interviewing the child asked him one final question. You can almost anticipate it. He said, "So now, you're 12 years old, so what do you want to be when you grow up?" And with a happy and confident smile, the boy, he did not hesitate one bit. He said, "When I grow up, I want to be a game show host." A game show host. You know, you can't make this stuff up. A game show host. No matter the genius IQ, no matter how gifted and talented you are, no matter how much you have an encyclopedic knowledge and a broad range of subjects, let's be honest, 12 years old is still what? It's still 12 years old. 12 years old is still 12 years old. I think to myself, my own life back then, what was I doing? Still trading baseball cards, probably. Other kids nowadays are playing video games. Well, this is something that was recognized in the church long years ago. They had a saying that they passed down from generation to generation. They said it in Latin because that's what they said back then. They said in the saying, this is how it goes, "Oratio, meditatio, tentatio, theologum faciunt." Translated, prayer, long thinking on God's word, and affliction or suffering make a theologian. Now understand that by theologian they do not mean simply a scholar, or simply a professor, or simply a lecturer, or simply an author of many Christian books. No, what they're talking about there is somebody who's gone the distance. You can see it by the look in their eyes. Somebody who's come through the ringer and who's come out on the other side together with the Lord God. Because affliction did something for them. Affliction had a way of turning their eyes away from the world and listening out for the voice of God in His Word. Affliction had a way of turning their eyes from the world to seek out the deliverance of God in prayer. And so we come to today's gospel lesson. It's almost like a play. You see the different characters in the lesson, and some of them we can fully understand. We can fully understand in the temple the teachers of God's holy word who are sitting there. Because they're sitting there because that's where they belong. Their long years of experience have brought them to those places of honor. Oratio, meditatio, tentatio, prayer, meditation on God's word, affliction. You can see it in their faces. You can hear it in their words. Now, among those who are young, you may find something different. Among the young, you will find vigor. You will find enthusiasm. You will find an infectious can-do spirit. I remember when I was first starting out as a pastor, 25 years old, 26 years old, I kind of cringe to think about it, but I was that young, and I was with a group of other pastors, and they were all older than me. We were having a meeting, and I made a comment. I don't remember what it was. It doesn't matter. I made a comment, and one of the older pastors chuckled, and he chuckled. He said, you know, it's nice to have someone with us who's under 30. They still think they're going to change the world. Well, there was wisdom behind those words. There was wisdom in that man's life. Because that's the way it is. The young have their place. They have their role to play in God's church, as does everybody. But let the gray hairs teach faith. Let the gray hairs teach what the Greeks called sophia, which means wisdom. But wisdom, like the Bible sees it, the right knowledge of God, the right knowledge of His salvation, and how to apply that in your life. So then, what is our Lord Jesus doing? What is He doing sitting among them, the teachers of God's holy word? He's 12 years old. And by the way, where are His parents? His parents had gone on ahead. The feast was done, and they went on ahead with a group of family and friends and acquaintances and people like that. And they go even a day's journey away from Jerusalem. Now, we hear that, and we think with our modern ear, neglectful parenting. But remember, that's a clan culture. Your kid is everybody's kid, and everybody's kid is your kid, right? Everybody's watching out for the children, and the kids are fooling around. Anybody can say, hey, you kids, quit it. Stop fooling around. He's not being neglected. It's just they assume he's with the group, and that's fine. He'll be taken care of. They go on a day's journey, but he's not there. So they zoom back to Jerusalem. And if you're a parent, modern or otherwise, you can understand that. They zoom back to Jerusalem. They look for him how long? 3 days. 3 days. Why 3 days? Maybe part of it is that they were looking for him in the usual places, where you might expect to find a 12-year-old boy with his friends trading baseball cards or doing video games or whatever they did back in the day. But they don't find him there. Where do they find him? He's among all the gray hairs. And I quote, "Now those who were listening to him kept on being astounded at his understanding and his responses." Kept on being, it's kind of a progressive sort of verb. It kept on being astounded. It wasn't just one little thing he said. Oh, wasn't that cute, very precocious. No, over and over again, everybody just freezes when they hear what he has to say. And not only that, when his parents finally find him, it says this. It says, seeing him, his parents were struck with astonishment. Now, it's a strange word that's used there. It's a word almost like getting hit over the head with a piece of wood. They're struck with astonishment at what he's saying and what he's doing. This is something more than a student of the month. This is something more than a gifted or talented child. This is something more than a genius IQ filled with facts and able to do complex math problems. Something more is here. Now, we should have known that from an angel of all things being sent to Mary's mother to tell her that she was going to have a baby. We should have known that from an angel of all things being sent to the father or the stepfather, Joseph, to tell him what his child would be named. Here's the name you're going to give him. No, don't pull out the baby book. This is the name. His name will be what? Jesus, which means the Lord saves, or he is the Lord who saves. His name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. We should have known it from the angels announcing to the shepherds at his birth. We should have known it from the wise men coming from far off. Where is he who is born the King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And now you've got today's lesson. The first verse and the last verse of the lesson are very much like each other. They stand kind of like bookends for everything that's in the middle. And the first verse of the lesson today says, now, the child Jesus grew and became strong, being filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And if you look at the last verse, it says, and Jesus was advancing in wisdom and maturity and favor before God and people. Wisdom. The right knowledge of God. The right knowledge of his salvation. And how to apply that in life. And how did he apply it? How did he apply the wisdom? You see it in the lesson. He said what? Do you not know that I had to be, our lesson says, in my Father's house. Actually, that's, I don't know why they translate it like that. He says, did you not know that I had to be about my Father's affairs? The things of my Heavenly Father. What he has called me to do. He's not asked the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a game show host. No. He would be obedient to death. Even death on a cross, Philippians chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 3, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. That was his work, that he might take you and me and bring us to God, because there's no other way it's going to happen. We're not going to get there. Nobody else is going to get us there. It had to be Jesus and his sacrificial death and his perfect life. Did you not know that I had to be about my Father's business? 12 years old. How do you talk like that? Because there are no shortcuts to wisdom. They knew that back in the church. People in secular world know that as well too. There's no shortcuts to wisdom unless the wisdom is inside of you already. Unless it's in you because it comes from you. Unless it's in you because you're its creator. Unless it's in you because you're its author, unless it's in you because there's no wisdom apart from you, Jesus said, I am the way and the what? Truth, there's the wisdom and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Later on, actually, in Matthew 12, he would say, something greater than the temple is here. Something greater than the temple is here. Now, you sang about it in Advent. We all did. We sang the Advent hymn that some of us even know by heart because we've sung it so many times. O come, Emmanuel, God with us. But this is one of the verses. O come, thou wisdom from on high, who orderest all things mightily, to us the path of knowledge show, and teach us in her ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. But we have to change those words, don't we? See the candle up there. Christmas has happened. Christmas has come. We've got to change the words. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel has come to thee, O Israel. There's something greater here than a student of the month. There's something greater here than a gifted and talented child. There's something greater here than a genius IQ. There's something even greater than the words of the psalm for today, Psalm 119. Did you hear it? Your commandment, Lord, makes me wiser than my enemies is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, because your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. A person who has God's holy word, he says that takes you to a different place, a place of faith, beyond even just learning or IQ or genius or something like that. But again, you have to be even a little older to talk that way. You have to have time with God's word. So there's something more here than just a student of the Bible, something more than a theologian, something more than a scholar. There's something more even than the temple. What do we have? Emmanuel. God with us. Tells us who he is. He's God. Emmanuel, God with us. Tells us where he is. He's with us, down here. And then, of course, Jesus, the Lord saves, or the Lord who saves. And that tells you not just what he is, not where he is, but what he does. He saves. He takes what cannot be saved otherwise, that's you and me, and gives us life eternal. Pardon and cleansing, washing clean, God's guidance, God's leading, all the way to everlasting life. And what do? When you know that to be the case, you put your faith in him. You put your hope in him. And you find your joy in him. You sing. Rejoice. Rejoice. For Emmanuel has come to you, O Israel. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.